Well, hello. Welcome to the next episode of Pegasus Radio. In this episode, who pays more, contractors, consultancies, developers, or clients? Let's find out. Now, this is a question I get asked a lot. I either get asked a question directly about who pays more, or people come to me looking for a move to one of those four types of employers on the assumption that those organizations pay more. I think there's a lot of assumptions, beliefs, misinformation out there about the earning potential in all those four organizations. So let's dive in and we will find out. So the one I obviously get asked the most about is the difference between contractors and consultancies, who pays more. Now, it's first worth understanding the different structures in both organizations. You tend to find that contracting organizations employ a lot more project staff. So if we talk specifically about the areas I recruit in, quantity surveyors and project managers primarily, or commercial staff and quantity surveyors, you tend to find that they carry a lot higher team because each project obviously needs to deliver profit and there's a lot more focus on that. So you tend to find that contractors do employ more out and out project based staff and less management staff. Now, for obvious reasons, it could be said that any organization generally gets pointier at the top. Obviously, there's only one exec board or one exec leadership team in each organization, and that's usually quite small. I do get that. But you do find that there is a different structure generally. There is a lot heavier weighting around kind of project based staff within contractors as opposed to consultancies. So what I find that means is that certainly up to kind of commercial manager level, and a quick caveat here, folks, different organizations within contracting and within consultancy have different title structures. So this is not a clear science, but generally speaking, up to commercial manager level, which I say probably translates to somewhere between kind of associate director and project director within consultancy level, I would say generally contractors pay more money. Inherently, they need to pay more money. They've got to have staff on site delivering margin for them on each project. However, the axis then switches, in my experience, generally speaking, that consultancies start to pay more. When you get into strategic director level appointments, consultancies most definitely start to pay more, and there is a much higher ceiling of what you can get to earning wise. Now, on top of that, I think there are just simply more opportunities within consultancies to get into those director level roles than there are within a typical contracting organization. As I say, it gets incredibly pointy at the top of a contracting organization, maybe less so by the typical kind of ownership structure within a consultancy, i.e., you know, the majority of consultants or a lot of consultants still operate in a kind of partnership model. And generally speaking, the way that fees are derived and the kind of fee structure within a consultancy organization means it can accommodate a lot more kind of senior management folk within a consultancy than I think you can find within a contracting organization. People sometimes ask me, what about kind of subcontractors versus main contractors? Yeah, you tend to find some niche subcontractors kind of do pay more. I think inherently you are carrying a lot of stress and a lot of risk within some of those subcontractors, so accordingly they do pay more. I'll come on to later in this episode, folks, around kind of different sectors, because I think that massively does affect earning potential, which I'll come on to later. But yeah, I do tend to find that some subcontractors do pay more money, but equally, you tend to find the ownership model within a subcontractor is maybe a lot more simple. And what I mean by simple is it's usually owned by, you know, a very small number of people, so the opportunity to get up to that full equity position within a subcontractor, and indeed a contractor for that, main contractor for that matter, I think is more difficult than it is within a consultancy. Okay, a lot of people approach me about roles with developers, and there are various reasons why people think they want to work for a developer, but obviously, as you'll know, folks, and for anybody listening to one of my podcasts for the first time, you may not know, but there are well over 200 episodes on Pegasus Radio. I've done specific ones about, you know, the pros and cons of going to a developer, which I'll certainly, you know, you should certainly dig out and find. But I'm going to talk particularly about money at the moment. A lot of people assume that there is a real opportunity to earn a lot more money within a developer than would be within a contractor or consultancy. My genuine experience is that most developers do not struggle to attract talent. I think as a result of that, they, you know, frankly can get away with perhaps paying less than some other organizations would need to pay for a similar level. I also find that, you know, a mass assumption I think of a lot of people who go to a developer is that they will be able to get some skin in the game. They'll be able to get equity in the business. That often is not the case in my experience. Now, one thing I should have said at the very beginning of this podcast, folks, is that there will always be outliers. There will always be some organizations across these four employer types who you can point to and tell me, you know, look, this individual's earning this much money, way more than they could earn in one of the other four options, one of the other three options, beg your pardon. Yes, of course, there will always be outliers, 100%. However, I'm just going to give you a general rule of thumb across the four different employer types. Bear in mind, folks, I've recruited now in this space for over 25 years. It's fair to say I speak to a lot of people across all four employer types. And so I think the general statements I give you about earning potential across all four is pretty accurate. But of course, there will be outliers. So yeah, with a developer, absolutely, there are some developers who do pay very well and critically pay a very large bonus dependent on project outcomes, i.e. have they managed to build and sell or rent something with a great margin on it. And sometimes they attach that to an individual's reward structure. And so yes, indeed, some developers do pay a whacking bonus and you can be very well remunerated within those organizations. Equally though, there are a lot of developers who do not pay a whacking bonus. I think there is an assumption that most developers pay a whacking bonus, and it's not always the case. Then clients. Now again, what I would say is, generally speaking, with client organizations, and so to distinguish maybe a developer from a client, I guess a developer I'm referring to, you know, somebody who physically builds and then operates, you know, that asset. A client would be maybe someone who does not own their own buildings or may own some of their own buildings, but fundamentally those buildings are usually used for the purpose of that organization. So that could be a large, you know, large international banking organization. It could be a pharmaceutical company. So in those client organizations, what I would say is that the property and construction function is just one small part of that business. And again, I think there is an assumption sometimes when people go to a client-side organization that they feel there's an opportunity maybe to broaden their horizons, to gain wider experience, perhaps to move away purely from a property and construction function into a more diverse management function. Once again, there may be some outliers to this, and that may happen on occasion, but my experience is that rarely happens. You are usually taken into a client organization, into that construction or property function. It's usually a relatively small team. There are usually limited opportunities for further progression. And that could also be said for developer organizations. You know, again, developers, yes, of course, they build things, but it's not all they do. They fundamentally have to either sell that asset or rent that asset, which is a big part of the business as well. It's not just purely the construction element of the business. So again, my experience is I've met one or two individuals within client organizations who are very well paid, but my experience generally is that you absolutely can earn more within one of the other kind of three employer types I've given you there: developer, consultancy, or contractor. So that's a general overview. I think, folks, bear in mind that within any organization, so what you have to do is you have to have headroom to keep growing. My general experience is that within a developer and a client-side organization, those opportunities to continue to develop and grow and take on more responsibility are reasonably limited. Now, again, if you're talking about some of the very largest developers out there, you know, someone like Atlantic or British Land, yes, of course, there's probably more structure and room to grow. But a lot of developers keep a very lean team, and that limits your opportunity to develop. And likewise, within a client-side organization, the kind of development, the kind of construction or property team is usually relatively lean. So I tend to find that certainly within a contractor or a consultancy, certainly if you're fulfilling a QS or a commercial or a PM role, there is more opportunity to climb up through the ladder. So how much can you max that money then? Where can you get to? Where have I seen some of the highest salaries ever paid within any of those four employers? I know I sound like a sub-record. Of course, there will be outliers to this. But if I was to list those four organizations in real opportunity terms of maximizing your earning potential, I would probably lump client-based roles as the lowest. I would probably put consultancy roles as the absolute highest and developer contractor somewhere in between. Reason being, folks, is that in a lot of organizations, particularly consultancies, or in a lot of consultancy organizations, a lot of them are tied to owning equity in the business. I think if you can get to a place where you own equity in the right consultancy environment, then there are fairly limitless numbers to what you can earn in the right consultancy. So to give you a real understanding of that, I would say some of the kind of more senior partners in a number of both mid, in fact, possibly small, medium, and large consultancies, I would say probably some of those very top senior partners are probably year on year earning over £1 million a year. I am sure there are salaries like that within developers, indeed probably within contractors as well. I'm not convinced it will be within a client-side role, but I think within developers and contractors, yes, there are probably some individuals who are earning that kind of money who own the business or own a fair chunk of that business. What I'm trying to say to you folks about contractors and developers is maybe there's less opportunity to get into an ownership position with both of those by the way they are structured and their corporate structure and governance than perhaps exists within a consultancy environment, which actively encourages people to pursue getting to an equity position, generating good fees for that business and being rewarded handsomely for that. So obviously I mentioned there some of the senior partners may be earning over £1 million a year within some consultancies. Yes, of course, that in itself is fairly rare. But what I would say is that it's not at all rare for individuals within a consultancy organization who are equity partners or maybe equity holders in a limited company to comfortably be earning north of 200K, many earning north of 300K. I do not speak to many individuals within contractors, developers, clients who are earning that kind of money. All right, I infrequently speak to them. Maybe I just don't speak to enough of them in those sectors. But my experience is it's about the number of people who can potentially earn that kind of money within a consultancy by the nature of the business and the way it's structured, and the way people can continue to develop within those organizations. I hope that all makes sense. Appreciate that may appear biased towards consultancies. Look, all I can tell you is I've spoken to thousands of people over the last plus 25 years. I mean, that is my experience generally within those businesses, that I generally don't hit too many individuals within contractors, within developers and within clients who are in that kind of money. As I say, there will absolutely be outliers. I have no doubt that some privately owned developers, there will be individuals who are earning well in excess of that money. What you have to get your head around is are they going to give somebody now in the business equity in that business? And that's the fundamental thing. The business model around consultancies is they are driven to give away, the most intelligent consultancies at least, are driven to give away equity for people to continue to expand that business. And that is the model that works. If you look fundamentally at the structure of a contractor, a developer, or a client, it's not the same notion. Caveat, client side is completely different because, as I say, the property or construction function is a very minor part of a client organization. Okay, I hope that makes sense. Now, let's look at sectors. There are certain sectors I do believe pay a lot more handsomely than others. The obvious sector at the moment to stress more than any other is the data center market. A lot of the arrangements contractors and consultants have with data center clients, whether they be data center developers or data centers kind of occupiers. So by data center occupier, I'm referring to the likes of a Meta, a Google, etc., who occupy the space, maybe have it self-built, but they fundamentally occupy the space for the use of their business. What you find is that a lot of the fee arrangements within data centers is on a cost-plus arrangement. That means, and then you're usually dealing with clients who are very demanding, who just want the job done and are prepared to throw a shed load of money at the situation to get that job delivered on time, not necessarily on budget. Again, I know sweeping generalization, but I do speak to a lot of people in the DC space, whether they work for a contractor or a consultancy, or indeed the end client organization or DC developer. And I can categorically tell you, generally speaking, salaries are higher, significantly higher within the DC world than they are within other sectors. Perhaps some of the other sectors below that I think, again, you find that individuals in contracts and consultants are paid more. I would say commercial developer, again, is a very well-paid sector. I would say life science is becoming a very well-paid sector, life science stroke pharma. You've obviously, historically, and I think still the case, sectors like natural resources, oil and gas, mining, again, generally pay very well. Combination of reasons for that. One is, again, very high margins. Some is kind of the hardship placements in terms of where you're working. And then it goes down. Some of the sectors, I think, generally do not pay as well. In terms of the private world, I would suggest kind of retail does not pay amazingly well. The end client is operating on, he's put a lot of pressure on contractors and consultancies to work on very low margins. Consequently, they can't afford to pay people as much. Generally speaking, the public sector, again, does not pay as well as the private sector. The fee levels are not as high. Consequently, salaries are not as high. So it's worth considering sector, folks. I appreciate this is not all about money. And I would also point out that anybody who's really good, almost irrelevant of what sector they're in, will be able to maximize their earning potential within that sector. So it's not always about chasing certain sectors. I know a lot of people have got very strong kind of ethical and moral views about which sets they wish to work in, and some of them they find, some of those sets they find a bit abhorrent in terms of the, you know, the kind of financial scenario with some of those sectors. So I do appreciate that. But as a general statement, yes, certain sectors pay much healthier salaries because of the fee structure behind them than other sectors do. So I hope that's been a useful one. I'm sure there'll be a lot of people listening to this who think what I'm saying is incorrect and will push back on some of this. I can only tell you again, folks, what my experience of speaking to thousands of people over the years and the kind of trends and models I find within different employer structures. There's also, of course, a big caveat to that, that you've got to enjoy what you do. So, you know, I get to some people, for example, I'll often have individuals approach me who want to make a move to a developer. And, you know, I'll often challenge them about the whys and wherefores of why they want to go to a developer. And they say there's podcasts on this. So I'm not going to go into a lot of detail with this. But fundamentally, some of those individuals want to be, whether correct or not, want to be closer to the outcome. They want to be able to influence the outcome more. And they feel they can do that best within a developer or a client organization. If that is what makes you absolutely happy and what is going to give you kind of career satisfaction, then it's not always about the money. Likewise, some people just enjoy being employed by a contractor and the cut and thrust of being on site much more regularly. Equally, others prefer the kind of closer client side contact and a more strategic piece that maybe comes within a consultancy environment. So it's not always about just chasing the money. But of course, this episode is about money. So, you know, in terms of, you know, people asking me that question, I thought it would be a useful one for you all to get your head around where I think the most opportunity is to maybe maximize your earning potential. I hope that's been a useful one. As always, if any of my episodes, any of my podcast episodes create some questions for you, maybe spur you on thinking maybe it's time to look at something else, then please do get in touch with me and we can discuss in more detail. I hope that's been a useful episode, folks. Catch you soon. Take care. Bye.